Honorable Members, this Honorable Court is again in session. Be seated. Case number 08-1061, MetWest, Inc., a subsidiary of Quest Diagnostics Incorporated, doing business as Quest Diagnostics, petitioner versus Secretary of Labor. Mr. Clark for the petitioner, Mr. Snare for the respondent.
Good morning. May it please the court, Brent Clark on behalf of the petitioner, MetWest, Inc. I would like to reserve 3 minutes for reply. Your Honors, this case is about the Secretary of Labor's attempt to reverse her longstanding interpretation of the bloodborne pathogen standard without following notice and comment rulemaking under the Administrative Procedures Act. It also involves the Secretary's attempt to contravene the Needlestick Safety and Prevention Act, which amended the bloodborne pathogen standard to require employers like MetWest to evaluate and use safer medical devices. It is MetWest's position.
Are you going to give us a visual aid here?
I do, Your Honor. I have right before me the small device before you.
Before we go any further, let's see what we're talking about.
All right, and I'll explain it rather quickly. This device consists of two components. It consists of a needle. When you would initially assemble this, the needle would be in a separate package. You'd get the needle. The plastic thing in my right hand is a blood tube holder, okay, a reusable blood tube holder in this case.
Can you separate it from the blood tube?
Yes, you can.
Would you please?
Yeah, well, this happens to be the Pronto quick-release blood tube holder, so this was the one with the engineered device. And what one would do would take this when they're completed and go like that. And that would drop into what's called a Sharps container under the bloodborne pathogen standard. So that's what this.
And what is on the, I see the patient end, what's on the back end?
Okay, on the back end, if you look in here, there is what's called the back end needle. It has a rubber cover on it.
Can you take that off again?
Yes, I certainly will, Your Honor. Excuse me.
It's not a projectile, right? It's just gravity.
Yes, it just drops via gravity, absolutely. So we have the front end of the needle, which has its engineered Sharps protection in place. That's a guard or recap. And then on the back end, there is underneath this gray device, this rubber sheath, there is a needle, okay? And so what happens in a venipuncture, the act of drawing blood, may I reassemble, Your Honor? What happens in a venipuncture, phlebotomist will conduct the blood draw. Now, the third device, which I don't have with me, of course, is the medical device, is the blood tube itself, an evacuated tube. That tube then slides onto the inside the blood tube holder, onto the back end of the needle, and then it's evacuated. It's a vacuum tube, and then the blood would flow from the patient into the tube. So this is the device we're talking about, and this is the device that MetWest and Quest evaluated following Congress's Needlestick Prevention Act and determined is a safer medical device. As I've demonstrated, it contains an engineering fix, and that is, in the old days, what one used to have to do before this device was invented is one would use a two-handed traditional technique, hand towards hand, and you would literally untwist the needle from the blood tube holder. And this was an admittedly dangerous practice because you'd be bringing your offhand towards the point of the needle, and that's what's...
How is that safer from discarding that entire thing?
Well, Your Honor, the...
Because watching you do it twice, you put your hand, your one hand, your one finger down there and release it.
Yes, the thumb.
Why is that... Why? And then the needle is actually released.
Yes, it is.
As this is human beings doing this, if you've got the blood tube in one hand and you've got your Sharps container and you have to hit that and it doesn't hit the container, then you've got an exposed needle you've got to get into that container, whereas if you throw that entire thing in the Sharps container and it doesn't make it, then when you pick it up, the whole thing is...
Your Honor, You're right in some respects. If you miss with what's called a single use, either a single use attempt with a reusable blood tube holder or a single use device, Okay, and either way, if you miss the sharps container and this device is on the floor, then one does have to pick it up. And there is theoretically an exposure, even with a blood tube holder on the back, to the back end of the needle. Also, if you miss using the Pronto reusable blood tube device, the needle now would be on the floor. And as the testimony in the record clearly showed by Quest's expert phlebotomists, that eventuality is anticipated and forceps are used. The employees are trained and to use forceps to pick up the device. So, and there's no evidence in this record that anyone was ever injured by missing and then using forceps. So it's Quest's position here that once the bloodborne pathogen standard was promulgated, the removal provision of the standard is directly at issue. And what happened in 1992 and 1993, after the standard was promulgated, a question arose. Can the removal provision, or does the removal provision, prevent what at the time was the standard device? Reusable blood tube holders were being used hundreds of millions of times in the United States. And a manufacturer posed the question to OSHA, said, does the removal provision prevent the reuse of the blood tube holder? Does it prevent this practice? So the question before the court was actually the precise question posed to the secretary in 1993. And in 1993, the secretary expressed her intent with respect to the removal provision clearly and unambiguously. Her answer to the regulated community was, the removal provision, the use of this device, does not violate the removal provision of the standard. So it is MetWest's position that the secretary issued a definitive interpretation of the meaning of the removal provision. And in this respect, and then that remained the same. The regulated industry continued to rely and do hundreds of millions of blood draws a year using reusable blood tube holders, albeit using the one-handed method that OSHA was intending to prohibit. Let's get rid of a hand toward hand. Let's use one hand. So that remains in place from 1993 until 2001, when the secretary, through guidance documents, yet again, chooses to reverse her earlier position, which, of course, was a shock to the industry because everyone had understood all along that reusable blood tube holders do not violate the removal provision of the standard. In this regard, this case is very similar to a case decided by this court, Alaska Professional Hunters versus FAA. And the reason this case is very similar is because OSHA had interpreted the standard, given it a clear intent, reusable blood tube holders do not violate the removal provision, and then chose to reverse its position. So in Alaska Hunters, the FAA had attempted to reverse its longstanding position of its regulations regarding commercial air operators up in Alaska for the hunting guides. The cases are very similar. The regulated community relied upon.
They're very similar except for the very the determinative considerations in Alaskan Hunters, neither of which is present here.
I'm sorry, Your Honor, in which respect?
The fact is that guiding operations had grown up over a 30-year period, and if the commercial airline requirements were imposed on these mom-and-pop operations, they would have gone out of business. That's number one. Number two, there were a series of rulemakings over a 30-year period where the guides didn't participate because they were told by the FAA they were exempt. Had they participated, they would have, Alaska was treated as a separate entity over and over again in the regulations. They would have, the chances are they would have been exempted anyway.
Well,
there's nothing comparable that I see here.
Well, actually.
So your company bought some of these things and they have an inventory of them? No, you can't use them.
No, Your Honor, actually it's very comparable because now this is where the Needle Stick Safety and Prevention Act comes in, and Congress's amendments to the needle to the bloodborne pathogen standard, very comparable to what happened in FAA. In fact, it was Congress coming in looking at the bloodborne pathogen and specifically looking at the issue of needle sticks, the very same issue here. So Congress was holding hearings. Congress was inviting the regulated community to comment with respect to the bloodborne pathogen standard and safer medical devices. And this is where Quest and MetWest were backdoored by the secretary, just as the operators up in Alaska were backdoored by the FAA. There was no suggestion at the time of the congressional hearings that OSHA intended to reverse its position and ban this device. Had there been any suggestion, and this is in the record, Cleet Lewis testified to this in the record, they were monitoring the development of the Needle Stick Safety and Prevention Act, and the industry would have weighed in. Precisely because OSHA was silent, and precisely because that 1993 interpretation was the law of the land, the devices do not violate the standard, the industry had no idea that the change was coming. And had they had an opportunity to participate and understand, they could have brought forth their expertise to bear and helped refine and educate the secretary concerning the development.
You make it sound as if this reusable blood tube holder, at least to me, was the only thing out there. I mean, the single-use holder was, according to OSHA, was being developed, and they saw it as a safer mechanism. And so I don't understand. I mean, you're leaving out, it's as if this reusable blood holder was the only thing, the only alternative.
Well, it all depends.
And their position is the single use is an improvement, or at least in safety terms.
But that is their.
It wasn't available. It was infeasible because it wasn't available at the time.
Well, see, that's kind of the. That's the misunderstanding that the Review Commission relied upon, because the Review Commission concluded that even though OSHA or the Secretary never explicitly said it was relying on the feasibility exception of the removal provision, that it implicitly accepted the removal provision. So right there we know the Review Commission's very critical fact determination was not based on anything explicit in the record. In fact, there's no citation to the record for this critical fact that feasibility from due to supply was an issue. In fact, as your Honor's very insightful initial questions pointed out, a reusable blood tube holder is a single-use blood tube holder. So at the time the bloodborne pathogen standard was promulgated, it was capable of being used only once as a single-use device.
You don't. The company you represent does the services. Does it do the manufacturing of these products?
No. This device is Becton Dickinson, one of the country's largest manufacturers of these types of devices. It's approved by the FDA. And so, no, we do not manufacture. We are a purchaser of the device. And under the...
Are the reusables... I'm trying to get at what... Are they more expensive than these?
You know what? No. When you look at a single-use blood tube holder today, it would be cheaper for the company to switch on a device basis.
Is it more difficult for your technicians to use the reusable as opposed, or the one-time only versus the reusable one?
What the company did is formed a national safe needle team of expert phlebotomists, and it evaluated and compared the devices throughout the country, different markets, different phlebotomists doing tests on this. And it's precisely because the results of these studies, remember, we're a clinical laboratory. We do things very precisely using medical-type procedures. The result was this is the safest device. And that was the mandate that Congress gave us in the Needle Stick Safety and Prevention Act. It wanted employers to evaluate the devices on a year-by-year basis and pick the one that's the most technologically advanced. This was a relatively new device on the market at the time the secretary switched her position on reusable blood tube holders. The old blood tube holders didn't have this inherent mechanical device. So frankly, Your Honor, and your question's a very insightful one, it would be cheaper on a device basis to switch. But MetWest won't do it because it's the safety of its employees that are at risk. Their analysis under the Needle Stick Safety and Prevention Act is this is the safest device. Now, it's not MetWest's position, I want to make this clear, that's under the Needle Stick Safety and Prevention Act. This is necessarily the safest device. Unlike OSHA's position, which is you must use a single-use blood tube holder, it's MetWest's position that the Needle Stick Act amendments require us every year to evaluate the safety of this device compared to new technologies. And if a new technology comes along and the employees and the specialists determine that this device is not as safe, then at that point, so we're not asking for, our position is not a blanket, this absolutely is the best device. It is evaluated year to year and it's determined on that basis. I see my time has expired. Are there any questions?
Can I ask you one question? On page 3 of your brief, and I may just be misinterpreting what you're saying, but on page 3 of your brief, you say that in these 2000 amendments, Congress required the recapping step, not the remove, I'm talking about the recapping step, to the standard under the Needle Stick Safety and Prevention Act. Where does it do that?
Through the mandating engineered sharps protection. See this purplish device on the front of the needle, Your Honor? What happens by the Needle Stick Act amendments is this would be open, of course, when the venipuncture is being occurred, and then you recap. So what you've done is you've placed a shield over the top. Now, that, of course, was a contradiction to the initial facial terms of the removal provision because it says needles should not be recapped.
Talking about sharps with engineered sharps injury protection?
Exactly.
All right.
That's
how you say that Congress required the recapping
step. Yes, as an initial step.
All right.
Any other questions? Thank you.
Good morning, Your Honor. May it please the court, Jonathan Snare for the Secretary of Labor and OSHA. The issue before you is straightforward. The removal provision in the bloodborne pathogen standard is clear and unambiguous as to what it requires. And for that reason, the review commission order affirming the citation against MetWest should be affirmed. Looking at the language, the plain meaning of the provision prohibits the removal of needles by any method unless one of two exceptions applies, and either infeasibility or medical necessity. It's undisputed in the record that MetWest did not make any demonstration of medical necessity or infeasibility, and therefore the citation should be affirmed.
When the standard was promulgated, I believe it said from the outset that it would not be, that these exceptions were not meant to extend to general practice, right? They were, that is to say, you could not use the exception to cover ordinary procedures.
That's correct. In fact, if you look at the preamble, although we don't, the plain meaning of this is clear, but in the preamble of the final standard, it does say the one-handed method or the mechanical method that was just demonstrated by petitioner's counsel is not to be permitted as a general practice only
However,
if one of the two exceptions is applicable.
So if at the time, as you now maintain, there was no general supply of these things, then they were inevitably used as a general practice by the industry.
Well, again, the language...
Is that correct? They had to be used because there wasn't anything else, by your own account.
But again, that gets back to the Secretary's enforcement discretion. At the time...
I just want to know when the regulation is promulgated, whether there's anything to suggest that it was contemplated that these devices would... be the universal standard, and as opposed to a narrow exception.
That is correct, but the one thing that is important to understand, Your Honor, is this removal provision applies to many different procedures, not just withdrawing blood, the issue here. There's also plenty of other needles, procedures, the type of needle that you would get a flu shot, for example, that was available at the time the standard was enacted.
Is that in the record?
That is, I believe that's in the record, Your Honor.
What is there in the record? There's testimony in the record, I think it's from the petitioner's witness, that that the devices were not generally available in 93 and that there was no way to make them available.
That is correct, Your Honor.
Is there any evidence in the record that, or pardon me, in the rulemaking record in 93, whenever this was promulgated, that that was the case.
That the devices were not available?
Yeah.
I think it was widely understood in the industry. There is no evidence, as I understand it or as I recall, in the record to that effect. But it was widely understood that the devices for this particular procedure were not available. But again, going back, the ultimate issue here before you is the language in this provision is clear, and there's only one literal reading, that removal of needles is banned unless one of the two exceptions is met. And then if one of the two exceptions is met, there's two procedures to remove a needle, either the type that was demonstrated before you, the mechanical method, or the one-handed removal. And the two-handed removal is completely barred.
All right, now what do you say the Needle Stick Safety Act did, the 2000 amendments?
Again, the Needle Stick Safety Act says nothing about or has no impact on an employer following OSHA's requirements under the removal provision. The only thing the Needle Stick Safety Act did was require the secretary to amend subpart C of the Bloodborne Pathogen Standard to require employers to look annually as to whether or not a device, to look at safer devices that could be technologically available. So it was merely a requirement for employers to look at annually at their exposure control plans and to make sure that they were using the safest possible devices that were commercially available. In fact, the underlying premise of the act is consistent with the secretary's enforcement practice in this particular case, whereas in the early 1990s, the single-use blood tube holders were not available, and the secretary changed its enforcement practice starting in 2001 to reflect commercial availability, which is precisely the language in the Needle Stick Protection Act, which is hinged on commercial availability of the particular device. It has nothing to do with affecting the requirements the secretary has imposed through rulemaking on employers in terms of which device to use. It has nothing to do with.
When you say subpart C, do you mean the sub C in the regulation?
In the regulation.
Okay.
Immediately preceding.
Okay, and this what you're discussing is in subpart D.
Yes, Your Honor. And again, the act only.
What is OSHA's role with this safer? And this analysis is supposed to be done every year, and the industry says we think this is safer. As MetWest says, we think the reusable holder is safer. OSHA, what does the Needle Stick Safety Act say about OSHA's responsibility once the industry makes this annual safety evaluation?
Well, I think the act requires every employer to make this determination, but there's no requirement aside from OSHA making sure in sort of the inspection or investigation process that they are making this annual check to make a determination. Or
is this MetWest says we think this is the safest, and OSHA says, well, we don't agree with you.
Well, again, I don't. Again, that's really not the issue before us necessarily today. I mean, I think there's a variety of procedures by which an employer.
Well, that seems to be their argument. That is, that under these 2000 amendments, and I understand it's in a different subpart, but it's up to them to constantly monitor what is the safest way to do this. And I'm asking you, what is your role, or what is OSHA's role in allowing the industry to decide the safest? How do you oversee that, or how do you?
I think OSHA's role is only to enforce the provision in subpart C that the employer has to make this check. OSHA, aside from that, OSHA's role would be to enforce the provision in subpart D, which is very clear that you can't remove needles unless you meet one of those two exceptions. And again, the plain meaning of the language we submit is clear and unambiguous. There is only one literal reading of the provision. Separate and apart from that, it's not necessary to look beyond the regulatory text to look at any type of guidance, but if you do, the secretary's enforcement language in the enforcement guidance documents has been consistent throughout the time period, and we have followed the language in the in the standard itself and been very clear to the regulated community as to what is required. The only change that the Secretary undertook in 2001 was a change in enforcement procedure, a change in policy to reflect the change conditions that single-use blood tube holders were now available, whereas they had not been widely available in the 1990s. This is well within the Secretary's enforcement discretion to change its policy to reflect the greater availability of those devices. And that allowance of secretarial discretion is recognized within the APA. We are not obligated to go through notice and comment rulemaking to go through and change our policy. That's been recognized by this circuit in the Hudson versus FAA case. So again, what we've changed is our enforcement policy. Otherwise, the language...
You haven't changed your interpretation.
We have not, Your Honor. Our interpretation has been clear and consistent throughout this process that removal of needles is not permitted unless one of those two exceptions has been demonstrated and established.
And so what's changed is the facts?
Yes, the conditions.
The external world.
Right, exactly. And that's precisely the issue.
It was infeasible.
It was before you in Hudson.
Feasible.
Exactly.
Let me ask you again. If you don't dispute that the reusable blood tube holder is safer, I mean, let's just say hypothetically you don't dispute that, then you're saying to the industry, even if something is safer, and we're not disputing that it is safer, we're still going to say you've got to go with the single use.
Well, let me respond to your question in several ways. First of all, I'm not sure I'm not prepared, and if I did lead you to believe that we've conceded that the reusable tube holder is somehow safer, that is not the case. I think the evidence in the record is clear that the single-use blood tube holder is safer, and there is testimony.
I am asking about once the industry says this is what we think is safer, what does OSHA do?
Right, and I don't think OSHA necessarily has an overall obligation aside from how to communicate. Let me also answer it this way. OSHA has put out guidance to the documents to the regulated community in the 2003 SHIB that single-use blood tube holders are safer. So we have put out guidance to that effect, and maybe that was probably a better answer to your initial question, but we have not conceded that point to begin with, and there was also clear evidence in the record that single-use blood tube holders are safer than reusable blood tube holders.
Where does the evidence come from? What was there an adversary proceeding?
There's evidence in the record during the underlying trial, and there's also testimony of experts. I think MetWest had experts, and I think OSHA had experts testify based on statistical analysis of OSHA enforcement history that there are more injuries, needle stick injuries to employees from using a reusable blood tube holder than using a single blood tube holder.
Is there a finding to that effect, one way or the other?
In the trial, there's testimony to that effect, which we've cited in our brief. I'm not sure there's any specific finding by the OSHA Review Commission on that precise issue.
But your guidance, I thought you just said, says that single use are safer.
Right.
All right. Couldn't the guidance simply say whether it's safer or not? Our standard requires single use unless you meet one of the two exceptions.
Yes. I mean, again, all of our guidance documents have been consistently stating that removal is not permitted unless you meet one of the exceptions. The 2003 SHIB does specifically talk about that the single-use blood tube holders are more available, that they're generally safer because there are more injuries using reusable blood tube holders. But the guidance documents themselves from 1992 to the present have consistently said you can't use removal of these needles unless one of those two exceptions has been demonstrated.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Snyder.
Okay, thank you.
Is there time? Petitioner have time? I'll give you 2 minutes for rebuttal. You said this case is like the Alaska case. What's the reliance interest here?
The reliance interest?
Yeah.
The industry on whole, and MetWest and Quest in particular, evaluated and developed the development of the Pronto quick release device, then employed the quick release device, trained its employees with respect to the quick release device. I want to address something on needle sticks that Your Honor just
raised. Is that it? Is the training?
Oh, it's the training, and it gets to why needle sticks happen, because it's a behavioral issue. OSHA believes it's the device that causes a needle stick. The fact of the matter is the experts in the field, and MetWest and Quest are the experts in the field, or among the experts in the field, it's behavioral. It really gets down when you do a root cause analysis. Why does a needle stick happen? It happens because it's a very intimate procedure with the patient, the phlebotomist, how they're trained, and how comfortable they are with that device. It's part of the reason why the Pronto reusable device, as was determined to be the safer device, it has attributes that you and I would never understand because we're not phlebotomists. And that's what Congress was trying to do with the Needle Stick Act. It's saying these technological advances, the people who are best to determine whether the technological advance should be pushed forward are the phlebotomists, are those in the industry who deal with the device. And frankly, Your Honor, you asked the question, well, what under the Needle Stick Act, what would OSHA do? OSHA would come out, it would inspect the employer, it would ask to say, what's your justification for using whatever device you're using? That has to be in something called an exposure control plan, well documented. If OSHA disagreed with the employer's conclusion, OSHA could cite the employer. And that was one of the points of our reply brief, that had OSHA wanted to take on the company with respect to its determination as to whether it was indeed the safer device, that's the issue that would have been tried before the court, and we'd be talking about safety, not whether it was prohibited at the outset, which, of course, the record shows it was not.
Thank you, Mr. Clark.
Thank you.
Thank you. Case is submitted.
Thank you.